Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Why you got people all excited, by the way, when you talked, or not, I guess excited is not the wrong word, scared? When somebody asked you about what was happening in a year, and you're like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen a year from now.
Yeah,
you can't do that in Boston. People are too crazy. It's hot there now. They're crazy people.
I couldn't be anything but truthful. So
you really don't know. You're just thinking year to year.
No, I have to. That's where my focus is, because I know that question is going to come up a lot. And I'm doing my best to really just redirect like that attention towards what we're able to accomplish next year. So, you know, that's all I'm focused on. Like it would be great to like, oh, I'm doing this for sure, but you just don't know.
Again, Kyrie Irving with Bill Simmons there, still non-committal. We played to that cut yesterday, but it plays into the following. He's still non-committal to you. Is that because you're still non-committal to him? And is he in play? Again, Chris Sheridan says you're the odds-on favorite for Kawhi Leonard, and he has Kyrie Irving going out in his scenario. Easy on the money match, but also Kyrie Irving hasn't committed to you. So he's in play. I mean, if Kyrie Irving's not committed to you, wouldn't it be smarter to trade him versus Jaylen Brown and that high draft pick? Because those picks are the future. And Kyrie Irving could be gone in a year. How about this one? ESPN lists 5 trades they'd like to see this week prior to the draft. Their 5th trade on their list. Kyrie Irving and number 27 in the first round to New York for Joakim Noah and Kristaps Porzingis. Which is your guy.
Oh, my God.
Would you do that one, Maz?
Ugh. Yes. And again,
are you so reluctant?
So when I say yes, I'm joking. I was buttoning up my pants over here, for crying out loud. This is all predicated on Kyrie being, you know, unsigned.
Like, let's say he wants to stay here. Again, but take the signability and just call that a wash. Which player would you rather have for the next 10 years?
Kyrie. I would. I'd rather have Kyrie, but...
Wow, you like yourself Kyrie.
I do. He can score, man. He can score on his own.
Porzingis can't?
Well, not in the same way. I just think Kyrie... Now, look, you can throw in lots of variables here to change my mind. You know, the knee, all of that. I just think Kyrie's ability to handle the ball and the quickness with his ability to shoot make him a borderline impossible guy to defend in the fourth quarter of a game down the stretch. You got to throw bodies at him. He'll beat anybody one-on-one. He's ridiculous. And I just think that is something they lack. So I look at the Celtics, whereas Porzingis, to me, is a guy that's going to have someone facilitate a shot for him more often than not. He can shoot over guys, don't get me wrong. But I don't know how many guys he's really going to beat off the dribble in that league. But Kyrie...
But let me just...
Kyrie is A1 offensively, man. He's A1. He is the highest level.
Let me put two again this way. Where are you better off? With just Kyrie Irving or with Porzingis and Terry Rozier?
I think you're better with Kyrie. This is a big man coming off a torn ACL.
Okay, so now you're bringing in a variable. Yep, we talk about Kyrie Irving's knees, but Porzingis also tore his ACL last year. That's right. So he may not be back till the middle of the year.
I just think, look, I mean, for me, that's a hard one. I love Porzingis. I love him. You know, last year he shot almost 40% from three-point land. A guy who's 7'1".
No, he's a freak. He's an absolute freak.
It's ridiculous. And he gives you some shot blocking. He's not your classic rim protector, but just the length, the sheer length of him, for crying out loud, makes him a factor in there. Like, I love Porzingis, but I just, in a big game at the end, I put a premium on that guy who can score. Who can score on his own. And Kyrie can do that. And we saw how much they missed that in the game against Cleveland in Game 7. you know, in the series against Cleveland. To me, like, Kyrie is just special when it comes to that. He's unique.
I don't get why the Knicks would do it. Like, the whole idea is to add to Porzingis, not to go lateral.
Correct.
You know? And if Irving really wants to be in New York, just wait a year and sign him as a free agent.
Right.
For nothing. And you keep Porzingis and add to him and just be patient.
Some of the stuff that I've read is that they're a little bit freaked out when his deal is up, I think, in the next year or two for Porzingis. And they want to redo it and have a lot of, you know, injury clauses in there, like how the Sixers have with Embiid, because they're worried about how he's going to bounce back from this knee injury.
Well, you know, leave it to the Knicks to screw this up.
He's got two left. Porzingis has got two left.
All I'm saying is, I don't get it from a Knicks perspective. I really don't. And if Kyrie's so horny to get there, then just wait and sign him as a free agent and deal with Porzingis separately, and now you got two pieces.
Porzingis would be a great Celtic. He'd be a great Celtic.
Okay, so add it to the list. What's going down this week? It's Danny Ainge got something up his sleeve. We continue to discuss. Joe and Seekonk, go ahead. Joseph! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You obviously know the number. Dave and Lynn. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Real quick, what I think they should do is instead of like selling the farm to try and get up to like the, you know, top eight, top five, I think they should go after Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets. He's going to be available, whether you just sign him as a restricted free agent or through trade. But I'd rather see him do that. I think he's only 23, and he's got a few years under his belt, and he's really good. He's like a triple double.
Right? Isn't he going to be a max guy here in short order?
That's why he's going to be available. Because the Nuggets just can't afford them, yes.
But, okay,
I think we can. You know, it's Boston. We can go over the cap.
Okay.
Like you say, the cap's crap.
Yeah. No, see, again,
Nikola Jokic and Yusef Nurkic.
Different sport. Different sport. The NBA cap is certainly...
Hans and Franz there in the front court for Denver.
Thank you, Jones. Is the NBA salary cap is definitely pliable, but... You can't have four or five max guys. If Tatum's a max guy and Kyrie's a max guy and you want Jaylen Brown to evolve into a max guy, now you're going to sign Jokic.
So now I got to give up the number three pick and something for Jokic?
As a restricted guy? No, that's not feasible.
And maybe, kind of, I could get Nurkic?
Here's TP and Medway. Go ahead, TP.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Maz, you keep talking about your sources in next year's draft, but you never talked about Zion Williamson going to Duke. Number two guy, 35 points a game. I'm sure Murray knows all about him.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah.
He still doesn't have like an outside shot.
Right, exactly. He's pretty raw.
And you get whipped up and watching this kid's YouTube clips. You're like, oh my God, this is going to be the next LeBron. But then you realize, oh, he kind of can't shoot.
So look. None of us know. Jones might know, because Jones, he didn't know Jokic or Jurkic, but he knows everybody else. He knows every other backup point guard in the WAC. Like, he'll talk
Hans and Franz there in the front court for Denver.
He'll talk your face off about Pac-12 stretch fours. He'll just bore you to tears.
So now I got to give up the number three pick and something for Jokic?
Okay. So why don't we just leave it to those guys, the experts who tell us, and there is pretty much a consensus there among the hoophead community, that this year's draft is much better than next year's.
Yes. Yes. Again, I don't think that's not me talking. I think that's the basketball world talking. This draft is way better. Way better. So there are a couple of kids. Zion Williamson's one of them. But as Murray said, take a good look at him. It's all dunks. He can't shoot. And in 10 years, he's going to be huge. He's going to be Mickelson huge. He's going to be absolutely freaking gigantic. That guy's going to be fat. He's going to have weight problems. But that's another story. So anyway,
big
go
fat
ahead.
Suck fest.
He is. That guy is huge. He's going to be gigantic.
Josiah in San Antonio. Go ahead on Kyrie.
Yeah, Felger, just quickly for people that's bad-mouthing Kawhi, I mean, at the end of the day, can you really blame them? The Spurs didn't do a good job of putting pieces around them. The city as a whole, it sucks, man. I mean, it's just awful. I don't think he deserves it. But bring my point. The Celtics need to keep Kyrie because swapping him from Leonard, you already got two defensive stars as in Smart, and on the defense, you don't need that. And then it's already proven that Rozier – these guys cannot step up when it really counts. All you got to do is go back and look at that Cleveland game, and the Celtics just need to keep Kyrie. It'll be dumb to let him go. I'm telling you, it'll be stupid.
Okay.
So, look, that's how I feel. I just think that in the playoffs, there's a premium on that guy at the end of the game that can create his own shot and not just create it, make it. Like, that guy, the Kevin Durant guy, that kind of guy. And look, you know, obviously totally different players. But Durant can get his own shot, and he can make it. And Kyrie can do the same.
Steve in the car, what do you got for us on the Celts?
Yeah, I wanted to finish my point on moving Horford instead of Kyrie. And you know, you said I answered my own question, why would a team take him? But you're packaging him with Terry Rozier and some picks. I mean, the Spurs are in rebuild mode. They should be anyways. We're not in rebuild mode. Why would we trade up in the draft?
So you're saying, hold on, I cut you off earlier, and you're calling back to finish your statement.
Right.
Yeah, good, you know what?
Persistence.
Yeah, good for you.
Well, you guys said I answered my question, but I wasn't finished. You just said Horford. Horford package. I mean, isn't Rozier and Horford a Popovich guy? I mean, they seem like they would be. And if
Steve, hold on one second. Before you go on, I'm going to drop you again. Call back. Call back and finish your point on the next call.
It's good checks and balances we got back there.
So look, if the Spurs are rebuilding, what do they want with Horford? Like, that's the part I don't get. What, you know, you want to tell me there's a team that's on the line somewhere that they think Horford could help put him in a new bracket? Fine.
Right.
No problem.
Houston.
Yeah, fine. No problem. They want Horford. They think he'll make a difference. They can put him over the top. Have a blast. Makes all the sense in the world. If you're rebuilding, why would you want Al Horford in a trade? The Celtics wanted him as a free agent to sort of, you know, make them a destination and give them some credibility and leadership and all of that, and it made sense. And that's precisely the type of team I think that would want to acquire him now. But he wasn't enough to you know, completely alter the franchise either.
All right, people don't like this take, but I'll stand by it. Hopefully we never have to figure it out. Hopefully it never comes to fruition. But if Brian Hoyer were your starting quarterback this year for the Patriots, they'd go 10-6 and win the division. Jules, your thoughts?
I'm not convinced.
My thoughts are, you know, we're not the 2000 Ravens, we're not the 2002 Bucks. If we go 6-10 with Hoyer in that, I think you're overrating the Belichick factor.
I think you're underrating the suck fest that is, to use that word again, the AFC. Cam and Taunton, 10-6 with Hoyer. Your thoughts?
You are out of your mind, Felger. They're going 10-6 with Brady. Never mind Hoyer. This roster is absolutely atrocious. It's the worst roster they've had under Brady and Belichick, including 06 and 13. The roster's awful. Their schedule's tough. They have the NFC North and the AFC South, which each have three teams that could win the Super Bowl. Plus, they have Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Mike, to think that they would have success with Brian Hoyer is laughable.
Yeah, they still have the Jets twice, the Bills twice, and the Dolphins twice, correct?
I think the division's going to be a little better this year. I mean,
I don't.
I think you might get one team at 9-7.
Yeah, right. Would you please with that? We continue with your calls on all of this, plus some baseball thoughts for you. The Red Sox Baseball Minute right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Nass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Nass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Here, let's just do this quickly so we can get this guy out of our hair. Steve, finish your thought already, please.
Yeah, so it wasn't even about Horford, really. It was about just getting Leonard over here for the lineup I wanted to introduce, which was Irving, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie, and Leonard, and Tatum, and Brown. That five starting lineup. Now, I don't see why you have to get rid of Irving. Irving wants to play with Gordon Hayward, so why wouldn't you let him stay here? Let's see what it all works. They're all going to be healthy now. Irving and Hayward both, there's no signs that they had any setbacks. They're both going to be healthy, ready to go. Irving's going to have a much better time here if you let him play with Hayward and the rest of the team. And I think that Brown is going to end up being just like Kawhi Leonard if he could teach him some defense. So giving him up for Leonard makes no sense.
Steve, are you done?
Yeah, I think I'm done.
Okay, 3 weeks now. You got to wait 3 weeks to call us back. You call us three times in one day, that's a 3-week moratorium on Steve in the car.
That guy's admirable.
I just want to make sure he got his thought out.
Oof. Also known as Steve in New Hampshire.
Persistent, that fella.
First caller ever who called in three parts.
Wow. Okay, Red Sox items here, Maz. Here's one. A good reliever moved yesterday. Do you think the Red Sox were in on it?
Kelvin Herrera of the Royals, and Jimmy Stewart will vouch for me in this, on the Baseball Reporters about what, Jimmy? 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said of the possible trade candidates that are out there, a couple caught my attention. One of them, the first name, was Kelvin Herrera of the Royals, who got traded to the Washington Nationals last night. And I think the Red Sox had interest. I also think they probably had zero chance of making the deal, given what Herrera's skill set is, and given that ultimately what he went for. And I don't think he went for all that much. He went for three minor leaguers, one of whom was a 17-year-old kid who's got, like, no track record, the second of whom was an A-ball, and the third, who was the oldest, is a third baseman at AA, who was the number 10 prospect in the Washington Nationals, in the Washington Nationals organization, okay? The rough equivalent for the Red Sox probably would have been Michael Chavis. It probably would have been Chavis, who was popped for PEDs. So they can't trade him, so he's out. And, you know, the other two, I'm reasonably confident they could have matched those two kids with guys from A-ball or below. Like, I'm reasonably confident the Red Sox could have pulled that off. But the fact is, they had no chance at this guy. They had no chance.
Because they have no one to deal.
Correct. And so the disturbing part for me is that if you look at Dombrowski's history, and this is not 100%, but the first year he was here, do you remember how aggressive he was? Do you remember how early they got Pomeranz? Like, he will make deals early at the deadline if he sees a guy he wants and he thinks it's a guy can help him. This guy, to me, may be the best reliever traded in the next 6 weeks. This guy's dynamite. He can close games. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Terrific setup, man. Gets lefties and righties. Has pitched in the postseason and done well. All of it. All across the board. He's everything you want. This was a guy. And we never really heard anything serious about the Red Sox and him, because I think the Royals looked at the Red Sox and said, "Ha, what are you going to give us?" They had nothing to give.
Well, in a related story, Ken Rosenthal, after starting the Manny Machado rumors to the Red Sox, squashed them yesterday or the day before. In a notes column published Monday, I'm reading from the NBC Sports Boston recount of it, in a notes column published Monday, Rosenthal reports that the Red Sox contacted the Orioles about the would-be free agent infielder, again Manny Machado, who is thought to be the prize of the July 31 trade deadline, but Sox president of baseball operations Dave Dombrowski thinks the teams, quote, likely do not match up on a trade at this time, according to a source. In other words, the Red Sox really don't have the top minor league prospects the Orioles would be looking for in a Machado deal.
True. I think it's dead on. Again, and the only guy that they might be able to lure Baltimore with is a Devers, which they're not going to do. I'm not surprised that they wouldn't do it.
Sources, according to Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston, sources with knowledge of the Red Sox thinking were dismissive of the idea the Sox would move Devers.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Again, I told you if I were them, it's gotten to the point where I think I would do it. If you could get Britton in the deal, I think I would do it. That solves all your problems. You got Machado, you've got Britton. Now load it up. Your starting pitching has been pretty good again of late, really good again of late. And so there's no way to predict how that goes. But if you put Machado in that lineup and Britton in that bullpen, I'll take my chances. The problem is that you lose them both at the end of the year, and the Red Sox aren't going to give up Devers because they have nothing left. But this is the problem they're going to run into now with Dombrowski. What do they have to deal that other teams want? Devers is obvious. Benintendi, they're not going to move, and I don't blame them on that one either. Like, in a perfect world, of course you keep Devers. Of course you keep Benintendi. What are they going to trade? They've got nothing to trade. And they can't take on a big contract to facilitate a trade because they don't have the luxury tax from, I don't think. They don't want to go over that 237 number. So you might even be able to say in another circumstance, hell, we'll take on a bad contract and we'll give you a little bit less for the player and we can make a deal. They can't do that either.
Even something as simple as bringing up Rusney Castillo, who's hitting in Pawtucket, they won't do because of that luxury tax.
Correct.
But they are porked.
They are. They're up against it.
They can't really do anything.
Well, so this is why I've been harping on this point, is that you're now getting to this stage where you're closing in on the deadline, and you have to be able to go out and improve. Like, Houston and New York are going to improve their teams. I'm convinced of that. I'd be shocked if the Astros and the Yankees didn't do something here. The good news in this whole Kelvin Herrera deal is that Houston didn't get him. Because Houston needs bullpen help. Herrera would have been perfect for them. They would have been a great late-inning guy who would have been able to do either. Set up or close. If your closer craps his pants, Giles, fine. No problem, we'll close with Herrera.
One more baseball item for you. And this is from The Athletic. Length of games. And the Red Sox. It's not just a figment of our imagination, writes The Athletic. Red Sox games have been quicker this year. Game times across baseball have been down significantly compared to last year. In 2017, the average time for all 30 teams was 3:10 average. What a dreadful, pathetic number that is. including all those NL games with the pitcher hitting and all of that. The average was 310. Ugh! This season, though, through 2.5 months, the average has dropped to 3 hours and 4 minutes. Down from 310 to 304. Hold your thought here, Maz. The Athletic says the Red Sox in particular have been notorious for playing among the longest games in baseball. Since 2010, Boston has the slowest average game time in 6 of the 8 seasons, which we all could tell you off the top of our head. Most of these games get terminal. The Athletic says that in an effort to reduce game times overall, Major League Baseball and the Players Association agreed on a series of initiatives at the start of the 2018 season. While an initial suggestion of a pitch clock was ultimately turned down, the biggest change was limiting each team to 6 mound visits per 9 inning. It's likely that that is the reason for an 8-minute decrease in Red Sox game times this year. Last year, the Red Sox averaged a whopping 320. Can you believe that?
320.
That is so bad.
It is. It's
that
horrible.
Is so unwatchable. That is the slowest in the majors by 4 minutes. But through 73 games this season, the average game time was the same as the season-ending average, blah, 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 blah. Through 73 games this year, Boston is tied for the second slowest in the majors still, so they're still among the slowest, but the game time is down to 312.
Ooh.
Pitching coach Dana Lavangie thinks the reduced mound visits have played a big factor for his team, and then he has a quote. Here's one more just item. Mound visits are one factor, but Boston's aggressive approach at the plate is also likely played into the time difference. Last year, Boston saw 3.97 pitches per plate appearance, the fourth most in baseball. The average last year was 390. They're down now to 3.89. Okay, so they've shaved 8 minutes off their game times. Maz, your thoughts?
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, the average time of a game overall, let's stick with general numbers for the minute, for a moment. 310 to 304. Okay? And so now we're going to explain 6 minutes. Do you know that the batting average of Major League Baseball last year was 255 and now it's 245? And on base has gone down too. So isn't it possible the time of game went down just because there were fewer hits? Is it possible that just 6 minutes have taken, you know?
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, but don't strikeouts lead to longer games because there's longer at-bats?
Right, but I'm saying hits. Hits.
Well, so if there's fewer hits, there's more walks or strikeouts.
Well, but on base is down, right? So on base is down because batting average is down. So there's, you know, if there are fewer hits in a game, then there are fewer guys on base and the game's going to go faster. Just my 2 cents. Okay, just my 2 cents. More importantly, and I've decided that when it comes to the time of a Major League Baseball game, I am going to equate it to a man's weight. Okay? W-E-I-G-H-T. This gets back to Phil Mickelson a little bit yesterday, but work with me. The average height of a major leaguer is about 6'2", 6'3". If that guy weighs 310, if he's 310 pounds, and he goes from 310 to 304, are we really making a big deal out of it?
It's a start.
310 to 304?
It's a start.
We're throwing deck chairs off the Titanic.
That's how you start.
310 to 304, we're going to celebrate.
I'll take it.
Murray, how do you feel about that? 310 to 304, that's a reason to celebrate?
No. Get it to 2-something.
Sox are down from 320 to 312.
Get down to 240 and then we can talk.
Agreed. That's you what this game should be, 320, but you don't get to, they should be 240, excuse me. They should be 240, but you don't go from 320 to 240. You go from 320 to 307 to 3 hours and 255. That's how it works.
Okay, but I'm telling you at the beginning, there is a lot of fat to trim. When you want to lose weight, you know what? At the beginning, it comes off fast. Then it slows down, and then you make small steps. So I would say the same thing with a Major League Baseball game. That extra, needless, bubbly, blubbery fat. That comes off fast. That comes off fast just with a little discipline. You should be able to chop 20 off just like that. Piece of cake. To me, it's the same thing. 310 to 304. Is that what really we're going to celebrate?
I am.
Major League Baseball is fat. Yeah. It's Mickelson fat.
Mess. For the last, I don't know, X amount of years, the game times kept going up. You know, there was that one initiative, whenever that was, like 5-6 years ago where David Ortiz lost his mind about staying in the batter's box and whatnot. They trimmed time early in that season. But since then, it's been going up every year since. Every year since. So they stopped the bleeding and started going in the other direction. I will take it. This is how it starts.
And in that year they trimmed it, they trimmed more time than they're trimming now. Hey, I want to say,
and it didn't last.
It was because the commissioner,
because it was a fad diet.
Because the
use your analogy.
No, because the commissioner stopped enforcing it. They were on guys early in the year about staying in the box and that whole thing, and the game was moving. And then they were sending guys letters, keep your ass in the box, let's go. There were violations. They were on them. And then the game time got trimmed, and you know what they did? They stopped. And what happened? The fat guy started eating again. That's what they did. They did. They got fat again. The games are up to 3-10 on average for a major league game.
It's a joke.
That's an embarrassment.
The Sox number is just preposterous.
That is an embarrassment.
3-20 on average.
3-10 to 3-04. Let's celebrate.
I am. It's a step in the right direction. It's where it starts. So these entitled, clueless players. You know, I had to hear about, well, what if the catcher gets crossed up? You got to have these mound visits because the catcher, I don't care about the catcher getting plunked with the curveball. It's the last of my, least of the sports worries, is a catcher getting nipped because he thought it was a fastball and it's a curve. No one cares about the catcher getting nipped. And I've never seen a catcher get hurt getting crossed up, ever. In my 48 years watching baseball, I've never seen a catcher get hurt getting crossed up. I've seen a catcher get annoyed and pissed. I've never seen a catcher get hurt because he got crossed up, fastball, curve, fastball. Never seen it. So I don't care about the catcher getting nipped or so, but this is step one. You've gone down from whatever, 9 mound or unlimited mound visits to 6. The next thing you know, now you, these entitled, clueless players, now you're down to 4. And oh, by the way, including down to 4, now you can only, you can't step out of the box or whatever. This is how you, this is, the players are only going to move at a glacial pace. They're not going to accept wide ranging changes overnight. This is the only way to do it.
Yeah. And the, like you said, the last time it happened, what happened the next year? Went right back in the other direction. I have zero confidence in their ability to do it slowly and gradually. Zero. Pull the plug, move on. Let's go. Get the game moving.
Okay, so those are your baseball thoughts. You want to weigh in on that? By all means. We've been NBA rumor-mongering today. Jimmy Stewart believes Celtics and others believe Celtics are looking to move up the board. Their target, Doncic, this the Euro kid, who's the apple of their eye, apparently. So there's still the Kyrie Irving and Kawhi Leonard rumors on the table. All of that. There's some percolating rumor-mongering with Tom Brady as well that we will get to all with your phones right after Murray's update.
You fat dump.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
As promised, right back to your phones. Robin Gloucester. Go ahead, Rob, on the Celts.
Hey, one quick thought. One thing that's being forgotten here is the Celtics could be in the top 10 right now. They're going to have the 10th overall pick from the Lakers. Trading up with that, with plus Terry Rozier and the Celtics' other first-round picks, we'd already be in the top 5. But we have the Kings pick, which is basically untradeable because it's top 1 protected. Just thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah. So the Lakers being bad versus totally sucking really hurts. Just think about that. If you were sitting here 2 through 5 tonight.
Oh, gosh, it'd be golden.
Oh. I mean, tonight, you know, this week, Thursday night.
Yeah. Oh, they'd have been golden again to me. And I think that was sort of the you know, I'd say the idea. The hope was that you would end up in the top of this draft, too, and you would get a guy on top of, you know, having had basically number 3 picks the last 2 years. Think of that if that had gone their way. Talk about a jackpot.
Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'd like to know what you think the chance of the Danny Ainge on Thursday of trading up. Possibly what I'm focusing on is a Mohamed Bamba. I think he would just totally, with a 7'10 wingspan in that center position, I think that's what the Celtics exactly need.
Okay, so Jimmy, what do we believe in terms of the Celtics' targets? Do you think Mo Bamba is on that list?
I do not believe that.
You believe it's Doncic? And who's the other player you mentioned earlier?
Michael Porter Jr. was a name that I heard about 6 weeks ago.
But you think it's Doncic?
Yes.
And you think there's a chance he drops far enough that the Celtics could realistically get to go get him?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they can. I think that they want to get into the top 5 so that they guarantee that they get him. But there's a potential he drops to 6 or 7.
So if this guy's so hot, why? I mean, again.
Well, see, the way that I listen to Zach Lowe's podcast, and he said that the really good teams like this player, the bad teams don't like this player. So there's a basketball IQ thing, and there's just a difference around the league of what people think this player will be.
So you're saying he's got a high basketball IQ and only the smart teams understand it?
Yes.
Well, and also, you know, maybe he fits better with a good team because you can spot him up. And,
yeah.
You know, so like...
Or he can play a role or play with other people.
Correct.
And he's not just a one-on-one talent.
Correct. And so, look, right, the draft I'm looking at now, and I always go to the same site, which is NBADraft.net. They right now have him fifth. Not too long ago, they had him third. So this thing always moves around. And, you know, at the beginning, they had him somewhere around seven. So, but to me, again, it's about those top six or seven players in the draft.
Who's sitting at the five? Who's sitting at four, five, six?
Four is Memphis, five is Dallas, six is Orlando.
And we've talked about Orlando as being a dumb team that needs a point guard in Terry Rozier before, haven't we? All right, just keep an eye on it. Phil in Boston, your thoughts? Phil, are you there? Hello? Yes, Phil, you're on the air.
Yes.
Philip, you're just not ready to go. You can call us back, 617-779-0985. We did a little Bruins minute earlier. Tom standing by with a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Tom. Okay, Tom's not exactly ready to go either.
What the hell is he doing?
Okay, the Patriots with Brian Hoyer at quarterback, 10-6. You hate that take. John in Providence. Go ahead, John.
I love that take. I think that they're going to go 11-5 with Hoyer. All they do is win their home games and go 3-6 on the road. Or whatever.
Yeah, and look, so I just think...
When you put it like that, it makes it sound easy. You win the home games, you go 3-5 on the road, you're 11-5. Like piece of cake.
I just think that they would. I just think Bell would figure it out. I think Hoyer went 10-6 with the Browns a couple years ago, for God's sakes. He's not horrible.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, his lone playoff appearance, it was four picks and two fumbles, one of which he lost.
So he quarterbacked a team into the playoffs?
They barely squeaked. The Houston Texans
he made
defense,
the playoffs.
The Houston Texans defense got them into the playoffs.
So he quarterbacked a playoff team.
He squeaked them in.
He quarterbacked a playoff team.
If you want to be technical about
yes,
it,
yes, I do. I do care to be factual. You can say technical,
he's
I can say factual.
Bum. Even at the OTAs this year, Mike, every day, it's a pick a day from Brian Hoyer. The guy blows. He stinks.
So do the Jets.
He had one of the worst playoff performances of all time.
I didn't say he was going to win playoff games.
I'm with Murray.
I told you he was going to win regular season games.
I think you're on drugs.
This is such a hypothetical.
I'm with Murray.
It's funny because...
9-7.
Because it just may be that Tom Brady's going nowhere. He drops a hint today about his future. A fresh hint from Brady. We'll get to that right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You gave the impression that you have every intention of being here for years and years to come. And that's something that he's been quoted as saying on a number of occasions. So I don't want to hear anything out of your mouth alluding to how the end is near. Now, granted, he's obviously closer to the end than he is to the beginning. He's 41 years old. We get all that. But the point is, I don't want to hear that out of your mouth. And it ain't even been a year yet that Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. But now that Jimmy Garoppolo is gone, for Tom Brady to do this now is clearly a shot at Bill Belichick. I mean, he basically gave him the middle finger. I mean, he really pulled the fast one. If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm looking at Mr. Kraft and I'm like, really? You see this? Do you see this right now?
Stephen A. Smith with a take that, if I didn't know better, could have been lifted directly from the Felger and Maserati radio program.
Oh, I think he's been listening to the podcast. First take my ass, stolen take is more like it. Who's kidding?
Well, I don't want to pretend like we're the only ones, but that is the driving takeaway with Tom Brady and this turn over the last 12 to 16 months. I mean, there's just no other takeaway. There's just no other takeaway other than... You tell us you're playing to 45. You tell us you're playing to 45. You tell us you're playing to 45. So we trade the kid. Then you turn around and say, I don't know, sooner rather than later. What?
I mean, maybe he's just making him sweat.
So what did I say yesterday? And this came to me, and I started talking about the Sunday night on TV as well. And that is, to get him back in the fold, do you get him back in the fold? You offer him a nice contract, and that's the entree to bring him back on board. Give him what he wants. Give him what he wants.
No way.
Give him what he wants on the money. Start there. Because that's usually what you get people to start listening with, the money. And then you tell him you'll work with him on Guerrero. I don't know what exactly that means. But make him a top three quarterback. Pay him back for all the things that he's done for you over the years. Commit to him financially, contractually. Work with him on Guerrero and bring him back into the fold. Isn't that what you should do? Because you traded the kid, so now you're stuck. It's either him or Brian Hoyer in 10-6 and one and done. So work with Brady. And now, so this appeared on Instagram. Murray, you've got it. Now, does anyone else, has anyone else talked about this?
Because
this makes me nervous now.
No, it's real. It's from the real ESPN account.
That we've sort of screwed this up, i.e. you've screwed it up, because I don't know, and I don't mean to blame you. I'm just saying because I'm not on this stuff, so I don't know exactly how it works.
The blame's already coming. It's already been taken.
No. I'm going to be up front, Murray. I will blame you.
Two days ago, ESPN posted on their official Instagram account with the blue check mark a photo of Tom Brady with a comment from the sit-down with Oprah Winfrey. And their header on the photo with Brady says, Tom Brady says he's still motivated to keep playing, but he knows he can't play forever. 17 hours ago.
So last night at what time, Maz? 10, 11 o'clock at night?
Something like that, yeah.
Tom Brady comments on this Instagram post. Tom Brady's official account with the blue check mark.
Can I ask you, how do you know that? Because it's just a comment. Is this Twitter or Instagram?
This is Instagram, as I said a few times already. And Tom Brady, his official Instagram account with the blue check mark, which you can't see there, but I'm looking at it right here. It has the blue check mark. He commented on it 17 hours ago, and it reads, and I'm going to probably butcher this.
It
says, 45, which
not,
is...
Not even close, well, Murray.
Whatever.
45.
All right, college boy. It translates to 45, and there's three little emojis behind it.
It's monkey see, monkey hear, monkey do, like that thing?
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Because I can't even really see that, but yeah. Okay.
All right, well, put your glasses on, Nana. So it translates to 45 with the three little monkey emojis. Again, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil, okay? So he's saying to ESPN and the world, nah, I'm going to play till 45, bitches.
45.
So I'm just nervous that no one's else picked up on that. That feels sort of like a major thing. Well, are we sure that's him?
I'll thank the random dude that sent this to me in my DMs on Instagram today. Because I've heard no one talk about this. Who would have been looking at an Instagram post from 2 days ago? Well, Brady.
I don't know. Anytime he farts on social media, there's headlines all over the place. What do you mean? Like, Brady can't scratch his nose without, like, there'd be a headline somewhere, ooh, Brady did this on Instagram.
No, but this wasn't his account. This was ESPN's account from 2 days ago. 2 days ago on the internet, and especially with social media, it might as well be 9 years ago.
So this was last night that the comment came through, though.
He's flipping around on Instagram. He comes across this and says, no, I'm playing till 45. In fact, I'll put it in a foreign language so the dummies like Jim Murray don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I thought he'd go Portuguese there. It's Spanish, not Portuguese.
Correct.
Okay, so if it was Portuguese, I'm surprised he went Spanish there for any reason.
See, I think Murray's misreading it. I think 45, the word that's missing is millones, as in 45 million. And then that might be the dollar amount I play for. Like, that's how I reread that, Murray, not age 45. You want me to play?
Ooh.
Bitches, give me 45 million and I'm in.
Well, let's just do the math. He's due 15 each of the next two, right?
Something like that.
Something, I think it's in 15 range. 45 plus 30 is 75. If he plays three more years, 25 per, I'd feel like that'd be a fair number.
So there you go.
Did I just do the math right?
Ish. I think it's 14 per the next 2 years, but whatever. Yeah, 45 plus 28 is 73. 45, divided by 3 is 24 mil.
45 million in new money? Gives him a 25 million. I'm sure I've screwed that up somehow. No, that gives him 30 a year. Well,
yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Boy. This show doing math.
Sorry. I'll do it in the break.
You generally got it right. Let's leave it at that. That if they added 45 million in new money, he would come out to about 25 million a year. Just under.
I love this. What does he mean? Because he could mean the money, because that's around what it would take, I think, to bring him up to a place that he deserves. He deserves to be a top three quarterback in the league. Did Cousins and these guys sign for 30-plus?
Matt Ryan did.
Yeah, it's right around there, yeah. I thought Cousins got high 20s, but whatever.
Yeah, Matt Ryan reached 30. He's 30 a year.
Okay, so is Brady saying I'm playing to 45 again, or is Brady saying 45 mil is the number? And what does the monkey see, monkey hear, monkey do mean?
Typically, you see that in a meme, like ignorance is bliss, so maybe he's calling ESPN ignorant. Like, they don't know what the hell that they're talking about, that he's going to be walking away soon.
Yeah, ESPN lies.
Hold on. Show it again. All they did was run his quote. They didn't edit.
They run his quote with the photo, but again, their header reads, Tom Brady says he's still motivated to keep playing, but he knows he can't play forever. So they're making their own little editorial assumption there. He can't play forever. He feels like he can. You're ignorant, ESPN. I can play till I'm 45.
Okay.
See, but you know what I don't get? Here's what I don't get.
I mean, to me, all I see is the quote. I think about it more now than I used to. I think I'm seeing there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
So, but here's the part I don't get. Pete, when he had the discussion with Peter King, he said 45. Very directly. He said it. No, I still think I can play to 45. And then I'll reassess. Now with Oprah, it's much more vague. Why isn't he still saying 45?
Oh, that's easy.
And why?
It's because Giselle's sitting right there, and she'll yell at him for saying that. With Peter King, it's just Tom and Peter King.
Was she in the room with the headset on?
That's a good question.
Jim Gray over her shoulder?
Yeah, Jim Gray was at the Peter King
Sometimes
interview.
Sometimes you change your answer based on your audience.
So, look, this afternoon, Ben Volen posted a column on the Boston Globe website. I'm sure it'll be in tomorrow's paper. But basically, he said, and it, again, like another one, it's just listening to our show, God bless you, but he went over all of Brady's comments with Peter King, like we did yesterday. We played you the sound. He encapsulated it here and sort of summarized the stuff he was saying to King versus the stuff he was saying to Oprah Winfrey, which is a total, you know, total turn, total transformation in 16 months. So Volen writes that Brady retiring or hinting so quickly after forcing the Patriots' hands with Garoppolo would represent one of the greatest heel turns in all of sports and could inflict lasting damage to Brady's legacy. Unless Brady isn't really thinking about retirement. Unless Brady is just using his newfound leverage and this is all a negotiating ploy. What exactly could Brady be negotiating for? It's likely to revolve around two issues. Getting a new contract. He signed through 2019 at $15 million per season. Or half of what Matt Ryan will earn. And two, getting Alex Guerrero's VIP access restored after Bill Belichick took it away last season. So again, if you add 45 to the 30, that's 75 over the next 3 years. And that gets him to $25 million per, which is a more fair number, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
So is he talking about playing to 45 or $45 million is the number? Just a thought. And you add 1 year onto the contract.
Yeah, look, again, I know you would do it. To me, I sort of look at it and say...
I would definitely do it at this juncture.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Because I don't want to play around with my Brian Hoyer, you know, take. I don't want to find out what they're going to go with Brian Hoyer. No, thank you.
I just think that they did him the favor already. They traded Garoppolo. How much do you want, Tom?
More.
And my opinion on Brady hasn't changed.
Okay, but that's unfinished business. So you trade Garoppolo, and now Brady's here, and he wants to play to 45. He's only got a contract for two more years.
Yeah, so we'll do it before the final year like we've done it in the past.
No, they do it with 2 years out always. Always, always, always 2 years out with Brady. Go look it up. It's always 2 years out. Always. Yep, every time it's been 2 years out, not 1 year out.
So then why did he get all bent out of shape when they didn't redo it last year?
I can't help you.
No. And I'm criticizing him. I'm not asking you for an answer. So he got his panties in a bunch because Garoppolo was here?
He obviously had his panties in a bunch over a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so look, and you're right about the 2 years. My recollection is that also. I would still wait. You know, I would still make him wait. Too bad, Tom.
Okay.
Too bad. You wait now.
Was that really Brady? Can we totally firm that up?
It is Tom Brady that commented on it. I'll show you during the break, too, so you can see the blue check mark so you feel better about it. I know you didn't see it on the screen.
They have blue check marks on Instagram?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Okay.
Means it's real.
So, there you go. Like everyone else, dig into that. Tell me what you think.
45.
Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub.